Well, good morning, church. It is good to see you here today. Welcome, Stafford campus. I know it's a wet one out there. Thank y'all for coming inside today to be in the house here with us. Hey, Fredericksburg, I know we're going to eventually give your pastor back to you, but we got him here another Sunday here, and we're grateful that you're here. God's doing amazing things down at our Fredericksburg campus, and we just want you to keep up the amazing work, what's going on down there. Hey, listen, if you're watching us online, wherever you're watching from, we say good morning to you and welcome to the Mount. I know a lot of you may be watching. We're still in this uncertain season, and that's just a better place for you to be right there in a safe place in your home. And we say thank you for just continuing to stay engaged. Listen, if you call Mount Airy at home and you're part of the vision, the mission, and you give and you worship and you serve and you want to be a part, we just simply say we see you as being a part of us. And then I heard something this week, a neat phrase, Pastor. Maybe we're your vitamin E church. Maybe you have a church family that you go to on a regular basis, but you kind of tune in every now and then to the Mount, and we're kind of a source of encouragement to you, a supplement to your spiritual growth. And maybe you're watching this at a later time, and we love being able to be that vitamin E for you today. Hopefully God's truth will say something to you today that you've been longing to hear for a long time. So again, good morning to all of us that are here. Well, Pastor Andrew, thanks for being back up here again at this seat. Because I know last week we dove into the deep end and in a very emotional topic nonetheless.
That's right. You know, we are glad many of you decided to come back this week, because we know with a series like this, it can cause some challenges and some things to rise up in us. But you know, in this series called Undivided, it's a reminder that we are a church on mission. In fact, we have a message that we want to be for one more. But we can't be for one more unless we're one. In fact, I love what Jesus prays in John 17, where he prays for his followers and even those of us that would come and be sitting in these rooms today and watching online today. He prayed that we would all be one. In fact, he even said, look, I'm praying that they will be brought to complete unity. What if we were the answer to Jesus's prayer?
Amen.
Church, let's be undivided. But we also know as we're going through a series like this, it can cause emotions and tensions to rise up in all of us. And last week we began the service by simply asking you, what are you feeling right now? You know, is it a bit of fear? Is it some frustration or fatigue? Maybe you just feel indifferent. Maybe you feel angry when you feel like people are talking about racial unity. But last week, too, we added one word to that list at the end of the service. We added the word, maybe right now you're beginning to feel the word hope.
That's right.
In fact, I even had a friend reach out that said he came in here last Sunday just feeling tired, feeling fatigued, like everyone's talked to him or talked at him about this, but he left with feeling hope.
That's good.
You know, if unity is our purpose, then hope is our goal.
That's right. That's right. Hey, let me also remind you about what we're teaching here. This is a biblical message to the church. This is not a sermon series that we're trying to preach to culture to be different. No, this is a teaching where we come inside the house, the people of God, people that say, we believe Jesus is Lord. Come on, is that you today? Do you believe Jesus is Lord? Well, if you say yes to that, then we believe this is the word, and we believe his word is going to show us how to see and how to live in accordance to that relationship. And so I know this, you know, because the tension of what we're talking about, it can bring that set of emotions. Now, one thing we said last week that I feel like I do need to clarify. I said this, that we're supposed to be people of God, and we need to live with a biblical worldview. Now, when you say that, that's good church talk, but a lot of times, what does that mean, a biblical worldview? And so today, I want to give you just a couple passages, and let's just kind of do a little quick rapid-fire exercise where we look at some verses, and then we put a view about it of how we're to live as followers of Christ. Now, last week, Pastor, you did reference Genesis chapter 1, and then there's two verses right there in Genesis 1 that talks about how all people have been made in the image of God. The Hebrew behind that is called Imago Dei. Imago Dei, that we've all been made in the image of God. But if I'm a follower of Christ, here's what it looks like with the worldview. Now, I will honor people as made in God's image. That's how I'm going to see people. That's how I'm going to honor people. Listen, this is not always easy. when somebody is different than you, when somebody's angry and you want to just kind of steer clear, listen, I'm going to see that person and I'm going to honor that person and I'm going to remind myself they're made in God's image. That's what I'm going to see. What about the most famous verse in the Bible? Come on, John 3:16. For God so loved the
world.
The word world is the word cosmos. That's not just for the Jewish people. That's for every tribe, every nation, every tongue. Jesus came to deliver this message of love, of hope to the world, to the world. So how am I going to see this? I'm going to believe something. I'm going to believe God extends his love to all peoples on earth, right? There's no limit to his love. And then one more, come on, we talked about the Great Commission last week. Come on, the famous chapter, Matthew 28, right before Jesus ascends up, he gives his reminder of the assignment to the disciples and to every church following. And he says that we're gonna go and we're gonna make disciples of who?
All nations.
All nations. Now again, let me remind you, the word race and racism are not gonna show up in your Bible. But the word ethnos does right here, nations, it's the word ethnos, ethnicity. It does distinguish between other backgrounds, other ethnic backgrounds, and this is all through the pages of the Bible, and it shows up here. And Jesus says, I don't want you to stop with just your in-group. I want you to go to all nations, and I want you to make disciples. And so there's this call. What does it say there? I will trade comfort. I will trade comfort to connect with people from different ethnic backgrounds. Come on, is that your call? Is that my call? Are we going to have a biblical worldview?
Yeah, a couple of other verses that really kind of help us paint a biblical worldview and see what it is. Another verse would be 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 20, where the Apostle Paul writes, look, I'm no longer going to see people from a worldly perspective, from a worldly point of view. I want to see them the way that God sees them. And then in verse 20, he says, all of us who are followers of Jesus have been given the ministry of reconciliation. So here's a worldview statement out of that, is that I will invite people to be reconciled with God and one another. So we're going to bring healing between our relationship with God and also with other people. And then another verse, John chapter 10, verse 10. And this is actually my life verse, my favorite verse in all of scripture.
Every time he preaches, this is going to sneak this one in on us.
That's right. Oh, I'm going to slide it in there. I've given away my secret today. But it says that the enemy comes, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And here's a worldview statement out of that. The enemy will try to divide while Jesus unites me to my ultimate life. In fact, I love how in that verse, Jesus actually outs the agenda of the enemy. He says, look, the enemy's gonna come to steal, kill, and destroy. In fact, you wanna know what two of his favorite weapons are to do that? Lies and division. So when you feel lies rising up in the country, maybe even in your own home, when you feel division rising up, man, that's not from God. That is the enemy doing what he knows how to do best. But Jesus said, when you look to him, when you see the world through his eyes, he doesn't want to give you a divided life, but he wants to give you an abundant life, life to the full.
That's good. That's good. You just preach a sermon right there, man.
That's right. Put that, yeah.
Hey, listen. I'll ask this question as we begin today, and maybe you're a guest. This is your first Sunday with us. Welcome to the Mount. We're grateful that you're here, but there's a temperature in this room here at Stafford. Hey, there's a temperature down at Fredericksburg today, and I'm just curious, what is the climate? What is the temperature? As I thought about the word climate, man, I told y'all 2 weeks ago, I did a real quick trip. I went back to Texas for 3 days, 72 hours, and while I was there, I had the opportunity to stay again with my mom. Now, I got to be careful here because my mom watches the Mount. Mama, if you're watching this service, I love you. I love you. But listen, my mom and her husband, Gerald, are at a stage in their age and life where they love to keep their house. Now, they would say warm. I say, oh no, it's hot. Are y'all with me? Any parents like that? And listen, the heater was nonstop the whole time I was there. The fireplace was raging. They felt great. I couldn't breathe. I mean, it was just so hot. And I'm just thinking, I don't know how you live in this heat. And then when I went to bed at night, I turned the fan on full. I was going to raise windows up. I'm just thinking, man, I can't. It's just too hot. Now, maybe it's because right now, when I come back to Virginia, my house is the opposite here. It's like I'm living in an igloo. Now, if you're watching today, I'm not trying to offend if you're an indigenous Alaskan. I'm not trying to offend you here. And let me be a little more delicate here because my wife, who I dearly love, babe, I know you're not in this hour, but I love you just for the record, so it's out there again. Listen, my wife is in a stage of age right now where she can't get the house cool enough. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's like Arctic world in our house. I mean, the air, fans are blowing, all that. There is nothing uncommon for me to keep my jacket zipped up at night and a hoodie on, sometimes gloves. I'm telling you, it's so cold. It's so cold. So listen, I don't know where you are when we say we're going to talk about racial topics. If that makes you get hot or cold, I don't know, somewhere in between. But today, let's just have enough courage to go where God's calling us to go. Let's measure our relational climate, our spiritual climate, because today I think God wants to say something to each of us.
That's right. You know, last week we also shared, look, if you want to grow, you have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. There should be something, as you encounter God's word, as you read the scriptures, as you hear it preach, there should be something that pushes you beyond comfort to grow in your relationship with Jesus. And even today, as we step into part two of this series, where are you at today? What are you feeling? And maybe you would even find yourself on maybe one of these two sides, or maybe somewhere in between the temperature in your home. Maybe you would even find yourself right now in a place of hurt. When the topic of racism or racial reconciliation comes up, you can feel the pain of your past. You can feel what people have either said about you or done to you. You can feel the pain of not just maybe your past, but your family's past and maybe generations and generations before. And maybe you feel hurt because you feel like people are ignoring what you've been through or what's been done to you. And maybe you feel like because you've, in essence, just feel dismissed, that dismissal actually produces more frustration, it produces more pain, it even produces more anger inside of you.
That's good. You know, maybe it's not the place of hurt you find yourself on a sermon like this. Maybe it's you feel attacked. Every time the whole conversation of racism comes up, you feel like it's this one big attack that I'm gonna have to apologize for the race that I am. And all of a sudden, it's this, all these things come at you. And maybe you feel even defensive because it's like, here we go again, to the point you just want it to be over. Can we just dismiss this, you know? And maybe you're asking the question, just tell me the solution. Tell me what we're supposed to do so we can do it and go forward and not keep coming back here again and again and again. Come on, can somebody relate to feeling maybe that this is just an attack? And I know, because I talked to some people saying, I'm getting this already at work all the time now, and now I got to come here and I'm going to hear it here. But listen, whether you're in a place of hurt or a place of feeling attacked, can I tell you, if we get stuck here, we have no ability to hear from one another. We have no ability to see it from another side. We have no ability to understand it, and we have no ability to move forward. And I just want to say something to you today, based on what we're going to look at today in the Bible. Moving forward is a choice. And it's a choice that hopefully I hope you'll make with me and with us today as we move.
That's right, church. Moving forward is a choice. And today, every single one of us, whether you're at Fredericksburg, whether you're right here at Stafford, no matter where you're watching at from around the world, you have a choice. Are you going to stay where you are? Or are you going to move to where God wants you to be? Hey, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10, and we're going to continue on this journey with Peter. In fact, we've been moving through what we like to call the gospel spectrum, and the gospel spectrum starts in a place of ignorance, and then it moves to awareness, which will be there today, then to intentionality, then to gospel community. And we've been on this journey with Peter, and we've mapped out these different stages because Peter is on a mission to reach the world for Christ. And he's starting to see, look, salvation really is for all people, no matter where they're from. And looking at Peter's journey, God has been calling him to connect and actually relate beyond his ethnic group. And the first stage we see Peter in has been the stage of ignorance. Now, Pastor, we actually received some feedback on this word last week, the word ignorance, and I know for many of us, maybe even all of us. There's certain words, when we hear them, they automatically produce some type of response in us, some type of tension in us. It's almost like we have trigger words depending on who you are. And for some people, like, this word ignorant was a trigger word. But let me just say what we meant by that word, okay? Well, the way how you define ignorance, or the word ignorance, is simply just means to ignore or to omit or simply to be unaware. Last week, we weren't trying to call Peter or anybody else stupid or anything like that. In fact, church, listen to me on this, okay? We are for you.
Amen.
God is for you. In fact, we want to see Jesus bring you to fullness of life. We believe that Jesus can make a difference in you and through you.
That's right.
And that's what we're for as this church, and that's what we want for you.
That's right.
So last week, when we were trying to say anybody was stupid or anything like that, but really the truth is, sometimes we don't know what we don't know.
That's right.
Not all of us has a perspective to see everything from every single side. And that's why it takes relationships for us to begin to understand what somebody else has been through, and especially when we can lead them under the light of the gospel. And that's the journey that Peter's on. In fact, as he's going along in this story, God actually takes a moment and he gives Peter this vision. Try to wake him up to see, look, he's been missing some things. In fact, he puts him in a trance, and it takes three times for this vision to take place for Peter to begin to see, look, God wants him to take the gospel to all nations, all tribes, every single people group. In fact, in the ignorant stage, it's a reminder for us that, you know what? This isn't just a racial issue, but this really is a discipleship issue. And discipleship happens in relationship.
That's good.
This stage is a reminder that, look, all of us have blind spots. All of us do have some type of in-group or out-group bias. But see, Peter, for him, when it came to his out-group, he would look at the Greeks, the Romans, and those were his oppressors. Those are the people who were against him, and he didn't want to have anything to do with them. But then God puts him in this trance and begins to take Peter on this journey. In fact, in that vision, Jesus says to Peter, look, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Church, one of our goals, one of the questions we want you to ask is, where did you get your information from? Because where you got your information from, how you treat somebody or view somebody from a different ethnic group, really does matter. And if it's not what Jesus teaches, it's time to flip the script.
That's good.
Because the Bible needs to be our primary lens, and Jesus needs to be our priority filter in where we get our worldview.
That's good. That's good. You know what I think is interesting, too, that it took Peter three times to get this message before he was willing to move. The same Peter that, before Jesus died, denied Jesus how many times?
Three times.
Three times. And then Jesus came back to restore Peter, and he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? You know, there's something that I like about Peter, because I think I can relate. Out of some disciples, I look at Peter and go, I love Peter because he's so zealous and always ready to charge hard. But Peter often puts his own foot in his own mouth. And I go, man, I can relate to that. You know, preaching three sermons every Sunday, you'll always say something that you go, oh, I wish I could pull that back in, right? But yet, I love Peter because he's teachable. Even if it takes him three times to get it, he's teachable. May we be teachable is kind of what I'm leading to here. Now, look, we're going to begin in the journey. And again, today we're going to move to a different phase from ignorance. We're going to move to this place of awareness. Pick up with me right there in verse 19. It says, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit, and notice it's capitalized there, the Holy Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Peter, I like this. He went down immediately. He obeyed, and he said to the men, I am the one that you're looking for. Why have you come? The men replied, oh, we come from Cornelius, the centurion. Remember, this is ethnic language here. Cornelius is a Roman centurion with Italian roots. And he was sending these guys there. He's a righteous man, a God-fearing man who was respected by all the Jewish people. He had an encounter with the holy angel. And the holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so he could hear what you have to say. And then watch this sentence right here. Peter invited these men into his house to be his guest. Now, there's three moves today I want you to see about awareness. The first one is Peter invited them in. Peter invited them to come in. Now, this is significant because something has changed in Peter. He would have never done this before. Him being a Jewish person, him being part of his in-group, he never would have invited an out-group person to come into his house, but he could not shake the moment he had with the Holy Spirit. He's changed here. And so what does he do? He obeys. Now, we don't know the dialogue of what they talked about that day. All we do know is the Bible says that Peter treated them like a guest. He allowed them to come and to be a part of his home. Now, I want to call this the awareness stage because I believe it's in the awareness stage we begin to form some appreciation from people that aren't like us. People from different ethnic backgrounds. And in this awareness phase, it's so important for us to be teachable, for us to be willing to listen and to learn from other people that didn't grow up like we did. Matter of fact, when we have enough courage to listen to somebody else's past and to see things from their perspective, it actually helps us to grow a little bit. And we begin to see that there's beauty in diversity. Amen to that? There's beauty in diversity. And I want us to understand that because he's beginning to grasp something here about ethnicity. God's helping him move past his own culture bias. And for the first time, he's beginning to see all people have been made in the image of God, just like himself. So Peter invited him in. God's asking us to maybe do the same. But isn't that scary? Come on, think about this right now. The climate that we're in right now works against us doing this. The temperature right now, the climate we're in right now, it does the opposite of wanting us to sit in front of someone different than us and to be open to dialogue, to be open to listen, to learn, and to be teachable at this time. Matter of fact, the climate that we're in is like a big old wall that says we're divided, that we have nothing in common, that we cannot begin to see things that will even be shared with one another. Listen, I believe it's during these times of division, it is way too easy to get defensive. It is way too easy to get dismissive. But wouldn't that actually be exactly what the enemy would want? I mean, isn't it interesting? Here we are preaching on unity, and this week, we face some division because when you go there, the enemy wants to go there too. And so in this theme of this day, of us inviting someone in, I want us to be willing to take a step to move in this phase of awareness. Are y'all with me, Fredericksburg? Come on, y'all with me? Are you with me today, Stafford? Here's what I want you to do. Even right now, before you even walk out of these campuses, I want you just to look around the room for a minute. Look around the room. Just look around the room. Come on. Look around the room. Look around. If you're asleep, wake the person up. And as you look around the room, let me ask you a question. Is there maybe at least one person in this room right now that has a different ethnic background than you? Hello, Captain Obvious. Yeah, I get it, right? Then do the same exercise this week. Go to work. Go to school. Look in your neighborhood. Look all around you. And I ask you the question again. Are there people around you that didn't grow up the way you grew up? Are there people around you that have a different ethnic background than you? Well, of course. That's America, right? Of course. That's Northern Virginia for sure. But can I remind you again? There's beauty in diversity. And sometimes we miss it because we think people are too different than us. What if this week, in the next 7 days, you could gain a little supernatural courage and you simply walk over to somebody and invite them in a little bit? Invite them in. Maybe the inviting in is just to have a conversation. Maybe the inviting in, you're real bold, invite them to go have a meal with you. Maybe it's to go get lunch or to go get a cup of coffee or to say, hey, can we just sit? I want to get to know you better. Or what if the inviting in is to invite them into your group, your small group, or to invite them, come on, real bold here, invite them into your home and ask them to come have dinner with you. And while you're in that setting, what if you actually just simply said, man, I would be honored if you would just, I would love to hear how you grew up. And I just want to hear a little bit about your background. What could God do if you began to take that journey with somebody that's not like you? You see, you know what I know about humanity? Everybody, no matter their race and background, wants to be seen, wants to be heard, and wants to be understood. Come on, that's no different than you, right? No different than me. What if we began to give that to somebody that's not like ourselves?
That's right. You know, you can see the journey that Peter is on, and look what happens next in the second half of verse 23 in Acts chapter 10. It says, the next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and his close friends. His cousins and them, he brought them over. As Peter entered in his house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. He said, stand up. I'm only a man myself.
Now, this is where I think we get shortchanged a little bit. Mm-hmm. I know we typically teach from the New International Version because that's what most people have. This is where I want to call that Bible company up and say, hey, I need some money back because you didn't finish this verse right here. It says this in this passage that I'm only a man myself, but if you go look at the King James Version or you look at the New King James Version or even the ESV Version or New American Standard, you're going to get a little bit more in this sentence, and it's actually, you're just like a man like me. You see, something is happening here for the first time. Peter's shifting. Now listen, if you go back to the Old Testament, they called Gentiles, non-Jewish people, they called them dogs oftentimes. They dehumanized this group of people. And now Peter's going, there's something here that's relatable. Man, you're just like me. I'm just like you. There's something we have in common here.
That's right. And you see this awareness that God's trying to bring into Peter's life every single step of the way. So not only as he's moving toward awareness, not only did he invite them in, but he also walks with them. He walks with them. You know, so many times in scripture, as you see people go on a journey, as they take a walk, they actually do some talk, okay? They start talking with each other. But have you noticed that there's something about when you're actually walking with someone, either to something or through something, God actually produces understanding in that relationship. And we see Peter as he's journeying with them, we see something, another type of awareness growing, and this is the awareness of empathy. Empathy happens in proximity. Mm. And see, that proximity comes through relationship. And as Peter is walking with them on their way to Cornelius's house, he's gaining understanding. He's learning and he's growing. And we see these two groups of people who scripture even says were once far apart. We see these two groups of people start to come together because of what Jesus was leading Peter to do. But you know, something really interesting that I actually saw this week too as I was looking over this passage. You know, I've read this passage before. I've taught on this passage. But the second half of verse 23 actually jumped out at me this week. Look at it again, verse 23. It actually says, and some of the believers, now again, it's talking about people who were like Peter, people in Peter's in-group, people who were Jewish who became followers of Christ. So some of the Jewish believers from Joppa, where Peter was, actually went along with him. And I started to think about how Peter is on this journey. As he's moving through this gospel spectrum, as God's growing this awareness, he invited them in, but he's not walking with them, that others are also following Peter.
That's good.
You may be the first one in your family who steps across ethnic lines because of what Jesus has been leading you to do to actually produce real healing. You could be the first one in your family who actually develops these gospel-centered communities that we're teaching about that shows what the world really wants, but it could actually happen in your home. In fact, when you invite someone in and you journey with them, when you cross those ethnic lines because Jesus is leading you to do that, watch who might just follow you. You know, Pastor, I was thinking about this story too and this journey that Peter is on and how he not only invites these men in, but then goes and walks with them and God's bringing these two groups of people together. I started to think about this story about a church I was working at before coming to the Mount. There was a man there and his name is, we'll just say his name is Bill, okay? And sorry if your name is Bill out there, I'm not talking about you. But let's just say his name was Bill. And Bill, for whatever reason, had so much bitterness and even anger in his heart. In fact, when he would come to church on Sunday mornings, sometimes that bitterness and that anger, it was palpable. And what Bill would do, he would actually sometimes corner people in the church, or he would even corner me. And he would go into these rants, these angry, bitter-filled rants, and he would say, look, the black people in this country, the Hispanic people in this country, and the Catholic people in this country are ruining this country. We need to get rid of all of them. Wow. In fact, there was even a time as I was preaching on stage at this church, and then Bill had people sitting around him, and he would say to the people sitting around him, look, don't listen to the black man on stage because he's full of lies. And my boss, my senior pastor at the time, he was the same shade as Pastor Todd, and we would talk about what do we do with Bill? Like we don't want to kick him out, but at the same time we can't let any type of toxins run throughout the church. So we made the decision. Look, we're gonna do our best to not only just invite Bill in, but we also want to be able to have a relationship with him, to walk with him. And would you know, as the church started to wrap their arms around Bill, as they started to actually hear his story, even as I would pause and look past the rants that he was giving and take a moment to actually listen to his story, man, I saw that Bill had come from a past that was full of hurt, full of abuse, full of being neglected. And as we started to love Bill, as we started to walk with him and hear more and more about his story, as we started to pray for him and even pray with him, man, we saw the gospel. We saw that started to tear down some walls of all this bitterness that had been built up in Bill. In fact, would you know that even the last couple of months I was there, I couldn't tell you the last time that he had cornered me or we saw him cornering anybody in the church going through one of these rants. In fact, one of the things that Bill even used to do, he had this garden, and what he would do, he would bring vegetables from the garden to my boss, our senior pastor, knowing again that the senior pastor matched the same skin color as him, and he wouldn't bring me anything, even though I was the only other full-time staff member at the church. Now, not to say that other pastors need you guys to bring anything, okay? Hey, but if you have a gently used Tesla and you have it paid off and you want to give it to somebody.
You give it to me.
But would you know that we could have easily have canceled Bill, but instead we invited him in. We could have easily said that he wasn't worthy of the good news, worthy of the gospel and what it could do in his life. But instead, we walked with him. And we saw the gospel take root in his heart. And those seeds of reconciliation begin to grow, and even in somebody like Bill. And what would happen, church, if we took steps like that, like Jesus shows us in Scripture? What would happen if we did the same thing Peter did?
So good. So good. Yeah. God be the glory there. You know, as we keep reading in this, there's a move to awareness, and we've heard two parts, but I want to share with you quickly the last part. Look at verse 27 there. It says, while talking with him, remember Peter met Cornelius kind of out in the courtyard, outside the house, before they go in, they had that conversation. It says, while they were talking with him, Peter went inside. When he went inside the house, there was a large gathering of people. He said to them, you're well aware it's against our law for a Jew to associate or even visit a Gentile. Now listen, this isn't against the law of God. This right. isn't the law of the Bible. Yep. This is the imposed rules that Jewish people put upon themselves to stay distinct and to stay distinguished from the Gentiles. He says it's against that law. But then he said this, but God has shown me something else. He's shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? And we're going to stop the story right there today, but I want to give you the third point because it's a move of awareness that's happening here. And it's simple, but yet it's clear, is that Peter enters in. He enters in, and something's happening here. Now, let's back up, because the first step was he invited them to come in. And that was risky for him to do that, to invite them to come into his house. But can we just all agree, at least he's got home field advantage there. He's got home court advantage there. But then he gets more courageous and he decides to take a walk with them. Come on, it's amazing what we can learn when we begin to walk a mile in someone else's shoes. And what he learned on that walk is, man, there's some similarities. Your wants, my wants, your needs, my needs, your desires, my desires. Man, we share some things in common. Matter of fact, the spiritual things you're asking me, I want to answer you because that's been the answer for me in my life too. And as they're walking together, he begins to see something different in the Gentiles. They're no longer an enemy, but for the first time, he's beginning to see these people as people made in the image of God and people whom God loves and now wants to reach them and love them through Peter. Something is happening here in this moment, but then it gets even greater. Peter's on the outside of their world, on the outside of their house, and I can almost just hear in the scripture Peter's heart beating out of his chest. He's never done this before, and he's about to go into their world just simply by walking in with Cornelius into the house. Man, something powerful is happening because for the first time, Peter is going to experience the full Great Commission, not just part of it. For the first time, he's going to finally see what he's been created for, this move of entering their world so he can now share the good news. Hey, Christians, we say we believe in the good news. We say the good news has changed our lives, but I might ask you the question today, what is the good news? You know, we come close to Easter, and we know we always retell the same story every Sunday as well as every Easter, that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to live for 33 years in this world sinless, yet be accused as a sinner and to die a sinner's death on a cross. We tell this story again and again. To the outsider, it's like, that's a weird story. Why do y'all keep going back there? But as an insider, people who have been saved by grace, it is the story that changed everything. That when Jesus died on the cross, oh man, he died on the cross to save us from our sins. That we don't earn our way, we don't work our way, we don't religion our way. No, it's by faith in Jesus Christ alone that we're saved. And when we receive this good news of grace, it changes everything about us. But what else happened on that cross that day? He didn't just die for our sins that day on the cross. The Bible shares a detail that in the temple, the Jewish temple, the curtain ripped from the top all the way to the bottom, opening up the Holy of Holies. No longer do we have to go through a priest to get to God. No, it's through Jesus. He's the way, the truth, the life. The only way we get to God is through this relationship with Jesus Christ.
So good. That's it.
But that's not all the story either. Do you know that on that cross, when Jesus died, the wall, the dividing wall, fell and came down too? There is no longer a barrier between Jew and Gentile, the racism of the Bible, any longer. God freed them up from that barrier once and for all. Matter of fact, this gets so good. Come on, check this out, Pastor. Listen, in Ephesians, we've been trying to memorize there in Ephesians, right? Chapter 4. But look at chapter 2, because there's some good news here. It talks about the Gentiles, people that were without hope and without God. But good news, now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near, look at this, by the blood of Christ. For he himself, Jesus, is our peace, who has made two groups. Come on, campuses. Two groups are now what?
One.
One. Did you see that? That he has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside the flesh and the law with its commands and its regulations, and now he has purposed was to create in himself, come on, one new humanity. How many times do we talk about in the Bible that when we put ourselves in Christ, we become a new creation? But God doesn't stop there. No, he takes the new creation and he connects it to one new humanity. There's a family thing happening here. There's a transformation thing happening here. And I want you to see this. It says this, that out of two, he's making peace through the one body, Jesus, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death the death of their hostility. That's powerful good news. If you keep reading there, it says that God is making a family of God. There is no division. And he gets on there and he says he's building it on the foundation where Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the cornerstone. Is that not good?
So good.
Come on, we're confused. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says there's no longer Jew and Gentile. There's no longer slave and free. There's no longer male and female. No, we are now one in Christ Jesus alone. Come on, somebody believes that message today. So there's unity in the body of Christ. So let's just look at Peter again. His mission is getting greater. In this step, in this move right here, it's not just his mission, but it's also his perspective is getting greater here. And the love that he thought he couldn't have for Gentiles is now getting greater here by him simply trusting the Holy Spirit in this move of God. Listen, I'm showing this to you today in a very simple format because it's not a formula, but I do believe it's a pattern that Christians should be living out. That you and I should have enough courage to invite someone in, to walk with them, and to have a moment to enter into their world to see it from their perspective. Game changer right there. So simple, yet so challenging to do. Why? Because we've never found ourselves in more painful days than we are right now. Listen, I'm not trying to make light of painful days. I'm not trying to make light of the pandemic, painful days. I'm not trying to make light of the politics, painful days. Or even the protest, painful days we find ourselves in. I'm just trying to help you see is that our enemy wants division and God wants to do something greater. And I get it. I got the pushback this week. Pastor, why are we talking about this in church? Why race? Why racism in church? Listen, we already get this enough out in our culture. And you would be right. But can I tell you what you're getting taught out there leads to division every single time. We got to come in here in the house of God and we got to get it right in the right context in here. I know it's painful. I get that. I'm not making light of the pain, but let's let the light of the truth of God to be what shines right now at this hour upon us. Listen, I get it. Race and racism conversations are emotional in nature. And the hard part for me as a shepherd is to know that some people have or maybe will walk away from the mount because we're preaching this right now at this hour. And before I want to get beat up with that, they walked away from Jesus too at times when they felt his teaching was too hard. To me, I think this is biblically clear, but the question is, are we willing to live it? Are we willing to go where he's calling us to go? Listen to me. Can I tell you, the message and the mission is too important for you and I to get stuck in hurt and to get stuck in attack. Come on, you're here today and you're hurt, and you think, well, Jesus can't relate to hurt. If there's anybody in human history that can relate to hurt, it's Jesus. Come on, he was accused. Come on, he was betrayed. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was crucified. If anybody knows hurt, can we just all agree? It's Jesus. So if you've been hurt, racially hurt, guess what? You need to trust Jesus with the hurt. Today, God's saying, you need to give that to me. Let me bear it with you. Let me be the healing balm for you. But maybe you are agitated and these are getting you attacked. I just feel attacked. I feel beat up. Is there anybody in human history that knows attack like Jesus?
That's right.
Come on, he got beat up. He got accused. He got attacked. Maybe today you just need to trust him with what you're feeling and you don't have to be your defense. Let him be your defense. Just stay wide open to his word and to the Holy Spirit's work. Are y'all with me today? The message and the mission are just too important for us to shrink back now, church. We gotta work this thing out. We gotta let the faith thing work this thing out. Listen, Jesus' prayer for the church is for the church to be undivided.
That's right. That's right. Hey, we're gonna ask our worship teams at both campuses are going to make their way back out. And as they're making their way back out, church, I dare you to move. I dare you to take a step. What if we could be the answer to that prayer that Jesus prayed? That we will be one, that we will be brought to complete unity. What if this is what you were teaching in your home? What if this was a pattern that you taught your children? And what if this was something that became so prevalent in your home that you're teaching your family and your kids to invite people of other ethnic groups in for the sake of the gospel? That you're journeying with people who are different from you for the sake of the gospel? That you're even entering into their story for the sake of the gospel? The unity that the world has been looking for isn't found somewhere out there. They're not going to find it in the classroom. But right here, in God's word, with Jesus leading the way, what if you moved just like Peter did? And as we get ready to wrap up today, I don't want to necessarily jump ahead, but there's one more passage I want to show you as Peter's on this journey. Look what he does as he journeys with them, as he enters with them in verse 34. It says, then Peter began to speak, and he says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism.
Amen.
But accepts from every nation, every ethnic group, every tribe, every tongue, every people, the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. So today I also want to ask you the question, do you need to begin a relationship with Jesus? Because maybe right now you're thinking, with my past, with the pain that I've been through, all I'll ever be is what's been done to me or what's been said about me. But again, Jesus can give you a new future, a new hope, a new identity found in the hope that is him. Maybe right now you do feel like the world is completely against you. Everyone's attacking you. But if Jesus is for you, who can be against you? That fullness of life that you've been looking for is found when you surrender all to Christ. So right where you're watching today, Fredericksburg, Stafford, online, go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you're ready to go in and give your life to Christ today, if you're ready to surrender all to him, would you pray right there where you are? Would you just repeat these words after me? Would you pray, Jesus, today I give my life to you. Jesus, forgive me of my past. Forgive me of my shame. Forgive me of my sin. Jesus, thank you for inviting me in. And while everyone says their heads down, their eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer today to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life, I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, I want you to send your hand straight up in the air at either campus. I want you to send your hand straight up in the air, and our prayer team is going to give you a Bible for making the decision to follow Christ today. So are you ready, Fredericksburg? Are you ready, Stafford? Are you ready, online? One, two, three. Go ahead and put your hand straight up in the air and keep it up just for a moment till our prayer team makes their way around to you. They're going to give you a Bible today for making that decision. If you're watching online, hey, just click that button right there to say, you know what, I'm following Jesus today, or reach out to your chat host today.
Hey, listen, a series like this, I just want to be very pastoral. So both campuses, look up at me again just for a second. Matter of fact, today, if you just stand up wherever you're watching from, let's just stand up together real quick before we walk out of here. We're going to sing one more song of commitment. And I love how the messages of the praise that we've lifted up to God today has matched the sermon. I love how the Holy Spirit designs it this way. But today, before we sing this final song, I want to pray a prayer over you, because I know the enemy is real. And if we're trying to strive for unity, the enemy wants to divide us right now. He wants to keep us separated right now. And I don't want it to win in this moment. I want us to see that our God is greater. And so in this moment of faith, I don't want you to bow your head and your heart. I don't want you to close your eyes. I want you to simply look up at me. Matter of fact, I'm going to put a prayer on the screen that I've already pre-written that I now want to pray over you, over me, over us in this moment. Come on, as your shepherd, here's what I want to say to us today as we lift these words up to God. Here we go. Lord Jesus, lead us to live a life worthy of the calling that we have received. Enable us to be completely humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. Holy Spirit, empower us to unity over division. Remove any barrier that keeps us from moving forward with you. Fill our hearts with courage and love so that we can bless people around us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.